Passage this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 4, in your Bibles, please. And then another passage I'd like you to have ready is 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 in your Bibles, please. Yesterday we celebrated our nation's birth, July 4th, 1776, the signing of the Declaration of Independence, where we declared our independence or our freedom from the rule of England. There's a recurring word or idea that we find in patriotic songs: freedom or liberty. We sing o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. The land of the free. We sing, "My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty." I know you are as concerned as I am for what is happening in our nation. Freedom, liberty, is always under assault. I'm a patriot. But a problem is this: there are many in America who call themselves patriots who are not. I think of what our first president said, George Washington, in his farewell address that he gave September the 19th, 1796. In his farewell address, I think this applies to today, this short sentence: "Guard against the impostures of pretended patriotism." Those who pretend to be patriots, guard against that. You know, the same thing could be said about Christians in the church. Guard against those who pretend to be Christians. Wolves in sheep's clothing, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. When people around the world think of our nation, America, there's one word that rings out and echoes around the world when America is mentioned: liberty. So much so that one nation made the Statue of Liberty and gave it to our nation as a gift, the nation of France. The preamble to our Constitution, which was adopted September the 17th, 1787. You know these words? You may not have it memorized, but you'll remember them as I read them. "We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." We have the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. We have the Statue of Liberty. So when we think of liberty, some people think of different things. I want us to see this morning five essential ingredients of liberty. We say, "Let freedom ring." Let's just look. This is not an expositional sermon. This is more topical. But let's understand at least five essential ingredients of liberty. This is not exhaustive. There's probably more, but these at least I think we need to understand. Here's the first essential ingredient of liberty. It's the word sacrifice. Would you agree with me that sacrifice is essential for liberty? 56 men met in Philadelphia 244 years ago. What they were about to do was risky. It was written, "For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." If they would succeed, this struggling little nation would have hardships, and indeed it did. But if this failed, these men would face the hangman's noose as traitors. That's what marked the birth of our nation: sacrifice. The average age of the men who signed that declaration was 45 years of age. The oldest was 70, the youngest was 27. Of the 56 men, 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. You don't hear about this much, do you? 12 had their homes sacked, looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 9 died in the war from its hardships or from its bullets. One of the men by the name of John Hart was driven from the side of his desperately ill wife. For more than a year, John Hart lived in forests and in caves. He returned to find his wife dead. His children had vanished. His property was destroyed. John Hart died of exhaustion and a broken heart. Carter Braxton of Virginia lost all of his ships, sold his home to pay his debts, and died in rags. The same was with Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwinnett, Rutledge, Morris, Livingston, and Middleton. Thomas Nelson Jr. of Virginia personally urged George Washington to fire on his home and destroy it when it became the headquarters for General Cornwallis. Nelson died bankrupt. What's the word we're talking about here, folks? Sacrifice. Thomas Jefferson, in a letter he wrote to William Stephen Smith, November the 13th, 1787, he said this: "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. It is its natural manure." John Quincy Adams, the son of our second president, who later became president, said this: "Posterity, you will never know how much it has cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." Written about 200 years ago. Liberty is being threatened from within. Are we willing to sacrifice like our forefathers? You see, freedom is never free. It's always purchased at great cost. That's talking about our nation. To each one of these 5 essential ingredients, I want to make application spiritually, because this is actually more important. And if the spiritual is taken care of, the political falls into place. The greatest tyrant you face in your life is sin. Sin, folks, is a tyrant. The consequences of sin we see all around us. We see people who are enslaved to indulgences. People will sacrifice so much to escape, even to the point of suicide, to end it all. This slavery to sin that I'm talking about. From the time that man first sinned, a sacrifice was required. The blood of bulls, the blood of goats was insufficient. The writer of Hebrews makes it very clear. Though thousands of animals would be sacrificed, it is insufficient. Those in the Old Testament, those Jews, were looking forward to a day when the Messiah would come. And yes, indeed, one day, as John the Baptist was baptizing there in the River Jordan, he saw the Son of God. In fact, he saw what he said: "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He was to die on the cross as our sacrifice. It was a one-time perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 9:26 says this: "He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Christ died to free us from the slavery of sin. Listen to Ephesians 5:2. "Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God." We're talking about sacrifice. Sacrifice is an essential ingredient of liberty. Another essential ingredient of liberty is not only sacrifice, but secondly, vigilance. Somebody who is vigilant is somebody who is on the alert. Somebody who was watchful. At the end of America's Constitutional Convention in 1787, the story goes, a woman approached Benjamin Franklin and asked him what kind of government the founders had just delivered. He replied, quote, a republic, madam, if you can keep it. A republic, if you can keep it. Vigilance is a constant awareness that freedom is not automatic. And it is not just defended with guns. It is a gift of God. Amen. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, where there is the spirit of the devil, what do you think there is? Slavery. Tyranny. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Can the liberties of a nation, I'm quoting here from someone, be secure when we have removed the conviction that these liberties are the gift of God? Every coin minted in the United States has these words, liberty and in God we trust. Folks, it takes vigilance. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, freedom is not automatic. Do not be entangled in the yoke of bondage. What is our tendency? Our tendency spiritually is to backslide into bondage. It's like the children of Israel being rescued from the land of Egypt, out of slavery, rejoicing as they crossed the Red Sea. And then what did they start complaining about? They started complaining about the fact they didn't have any food. And oh, it would be so nice if we were back in Egypt where we had the leeks and the garlic and the onions. All false religions make slaves of people for salvation. You must work for your salvation, they say. You must do this and do that and do this and do that for you to be saved. Not true Christianity. About the time the Constitution was adopted in the 1780s, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh, had this to say about the fall of the Athenian Republic some 2,000 years earlier. You've probably heard this before. Let me read this to you. A democracy will continue to exist up until the time that voters discover they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates who promise the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that every democracy will finally collapse due to loose fiscal policy, which is always followed by a dictatorship. Then he talks about how that historically great nations progress through the following sequence. I know you've heard of this. Number one, from bondage to spiritual faith. Then from spiritual faith to courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence, from dependence back into bondage. Somebody made this observation when they were looking at the voter maps of the past number of years. Voter maps of territory typically won by conservatives is mostly land owned by taxpaying citizens. Territory won by the left mostly encompasses those living in government-owned tenements and living off various forms of government welfare. Slavery, bondage. What's the one word we're talking about here? Vigilance. Being on the alert, watching. Most people believe we're in the apathy stage, where we go from apathy to dependence and from dependence back into bondage. It's apathy when you say, well, this doesn't affect me. What's happening in Minneapolis doesn't affect me. What's happening in Atlanta? What's happening over here in Los Angeles? That doesn't affect me. And we just stand back. What's happening down in Denver? Oh, it's just an hour away. Or that's more than an hour away. And we become apathetic. Is there any vigilance required for the believer in his Christian life too? Be sober, Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be vigilant. Because, do you know the rest of this verse? Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, be watching, because the devil is as a roaring lion and he's walking about. He wants to get you. Or 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. That verse starts off with watch ye. Be vigilant. Vigilance is an essential ingredient of liberty. Another essential ingredient of liberty, our third one this morning, is the word law. The word law. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 4, we read this in verse 6. Keep therefore and do them. Do what? The statutes, the judgments, God's law. Do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. When is a people called wise and understanding? When they keep God's law. That's what makes us wise and understanding. Folks, a nation is not great because of its military. A nation is great because of its master. Amen. Some people would say, well, isn't law opposite of liberty? And that's what people think today. Law is opposite of liberty. Nothing can be further from the truth. People would say, well, doesn't liberty mean I can do anything I want? No. Liberty is not license. There's some of you in our church who love to look at trains. Brother Hale here used to be a locomotive engineer. He loves trains. Brother Jerry Hutchison, they love trains. When is a train the most free? When it is on the tracks that restrict it in going a certain direction and a certain way. That train could say, this is constraining to me. I'm going to get off these tracks. What happens to the train? It goes nowhere. That, folks, is like liberty and no law. The most free music is that which abides by the laws of music. Not just some kid banging on the piano. That's real pleasant, isn't it? I've got liberty. Bang, 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 you know. That's liberty, right? No. Beautiful music is by somebody who plays the notes. And we sing in harmony and in unison. That's liberty. So liberty always abides by law. Even liberty itself is under the law. James Wilson said, without liberty, law loses its nature and its name and becomes oppression. Without law, liberty also loses its nature and its name and becomes licentiousness. I really don't need to go into depth with a lot of illustrations, because just turn on your news tomorrow. And there you see this so well illustrated. Liberty without law. You can't tell me what to do, say the little kids who used to be screaming and squalling on the Walmart floors, who are now running the cities. Some would misuse liberty. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, do you have your Bible turned there? I had asked you to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to this king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. By the way, that's law enforcement. You see that? Law enforcement is ordained of God. And for the praise of them that do well, verse 15, for so is the will of God that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now notice verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, Do not use your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, literally as a covering for evil. Need I state some kind of an illustration so you get the point here? If so, again, look around, look at the news, what is happening in our nation. People are using liberty as a cloak for the evil they're committing. And this is what Christians do as well. I'm a Christian. I've got liberty to do whatever I want. Anytime a Christian says I can do whatever I want, there's a problem. Because a true Christian will say, I can do whatever God wants me to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can't do everything I want. Because if I would do everything I want in my flesh, it would be against what the Holy Spirit would have me to do. We are under the control of the Holy Spirit. Paul said it this way in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Do not use liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Law is an essential ingredient of liberty. But what law? What law? Because men and legislators are always coming up with new laws. Would you agree with me that some laws are oppressive and unnecessary? Some are good and necessary? Understand something. All laws of men eventually become tyranny. So we need a standard above man. Since all laws of men become tyranny, we need a law that is above men. The Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, placed that standard, the Bible, in the hands of people. The law above all laws. As somebody said, it assured that freedom could exist without license and without chaos. James put it this way in 1:25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Isn't that kind of interesting? No, isn't that real interesting? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What's he talking about there? He's talking about what you have in your hands this morning, your Bible. Whoso looketh into this perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Where? As he looks into this perfect law of liberty. Our founders knew that the Bible was necessary as the basis for law. You know, if you look up the charters of some of our 50 states, you'll find some very interesting things. For example, the Rhode Island Charter of 1683 begins this way. This is unbelievable. We submit our persons, lives and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and to all those perfect and most absolute laws of his given, he has given us in his holy word, end quote. The Declaration of Independence was based upon those absolute laws as seen in the first paragraph, an appeal to the laws of nature and of nature's God. Somebody said this, our national constitution established a republic upon the absolute laws of the Bible, not a democracy based on the changing whims of the people. It is based upon law. Now, folks, that's political. And I state that in commemoration of our nation's birth. What about the spiritual part of it? I've said some things all throughout that as a Christian, you have been called unto liberty, but don't use your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but to serve one another. Law, and therefore the respect for the law, is essential, is an essential ingredient of liberty. Another is truth. Truth. It was truth, it was facts that comprise most of the Declaration of Independence. By the way, that sheet that you have that has the song, If Our People on one side, if you turn it over, you'll see on the other side an abridged form of the Declaration of Independence. As you read the Declaration of Independence, you're going to see that it was truth, it was facts that comprised that declaration. Quote, "The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world." And then it says, "He has." And it says, "He has done this, he has done that," 18 times. You'll note that by the ellipsis marks. Truth is an essential ingredient of liberty. Facts. Proclaiming the truth is necessary to overcome error. No lie ever gave freedom to anyone. Living a lie is living in bondage. Do you turn your TV on and watch the news and take everything they say as fact? You are a fool if you do. There's a reason it's being called the fake news media. It's fake. It's lies. Lies by politicians. Lies by false prophets. Standing in the pulpits and preaching lies. What is culturally popular today, the Bible calls sin. Homosexuality is becoming more and more normal. And people think that it's something we can accept because I know somebody. I've got a relative who's a homosexual. I've got a friend so therefore we begin to accept it and we don't read our Bibles and what the Bible says about it. Abortion. Think about the lies people are telling today. Churches, did you know, are being pressured to say something in support of the Black Lives movement? Churches being pressured. Dan Cathy, the CEO of Chick-fil-A, was pressured and he caved. The Southern Baptist Convention was pressured and they caved. Parting from the truth. Black Lives Matter is a religion, folks. It's a racist religion. It's made up of black supremacists. The truth in action is that BLM stands for burning, looting, Marxism, or murder. It is anti-Bible. It is anti-Christ. Knowing the truth is liberating. Thomas Jefferson said, "It is error alone which needs the support of government. Truth can stand by itself." Most people are familiar with John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth," and see, we know that. Even in this nation, we know that. The truth will set you free. What's that talking about? Is that talking about the truth in government? No, it's talking about the truth of God's word. The truth of God, it will set you free. People are in bondage when they think, "Well, I've got to do this to be saved. I've got to do this to please God. I've got to do this." No, I've got to recognize that I have offended a holy God, a just God. And when I recognize my offense to God, then I recognize that he loved me and gave himself for me and has graciously provided a way for me to escape. Through Jesus Christ and him alone, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," Jesus said. Some say, "Well, I'm not in bondage. We're free. We're Americans." But everybody's in bondage to sin. Every man is in bondage to sin unless he has accepted Jesus Christ as a savior from that sin. Jesus Christ is the truth. God's word is the truth. John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Truth is essential for liberty. The fifth and the last is the word responsibility. Again, there's more. You could probably think of some more, but I'm thinking of these five things as essential ingredients of liberty. Responsibility. The use of freedom can easily be turned into abuse. All liberties come with responsibility. Think about a teenager who starts driving the car. I'm free. Liberty. Yes, but you say as a parent, there's also responsibility. If you're going to have this freedom, you must also have responsibility. To keep your freedom to drive, you must now maintain this vehicle. You better be responsible, Blake, when you start driving, to make sure you change the oil and don't make your dad do it all. He's nearest to being 15, 16. How old are you? Oh, he's 14. It's coming. The liberties we enjoy as Americans come with a responsibility. Jesus said in Luke 12:48, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Let's just think about the First Amendment to our Constitution. Let's think about that alone. It's posted in the front doors as you came in this morning. Has been for the past weeks. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, where's the responsibility in that? Are we exercising it? Are we exercising freely the freedom we have of religion? It goes on to say, or abridging the freedom of speech. Where's the responsibility? Are you speaking up? There's a lot of people who are. And people who should be saying something are not. You come to a church and you say, I wish the pastor would say this. Why don't you? Or of the press. I don't like what the press is saying. Then why don't you start printing something? Why don't you start distributing the truth? Why don't you take some gospel tracts and spread the, it's freedom. You have the freedom. Or of the rights of the people peaceably to assemble. Any responsibility there, folks? The government has recently tried to take away that freedom. You can't assemble because there's some kind of an invisible enemy that's going to, we just need to get flat in the curve, and once that's done, we'll be there. 2 months ago. And it was flattened as people cowered in their homes in fear. Are you assembling yourself? You may be familiar with the Christian Law Association. From their prayer list that they put out last month, they have this prayer request on there. This ought to scare you. Pray for a Christian in California whose workplace is making stricter COVID guidelines. If she chooses to attend church in person, even with safety precautions, she will lose her employment. Oh, that's got to be in China. No, it's in California. It's on our shores. And you know that our governor looks to California to get his guidance. So it's probably going to be in Colorado real soon. Oh, you went to church? You can't be employed here anymore. And to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Are you petitioning? You see, there's responsibility with the freedoms that we have. Maybe just as an aside, let me ask you something. Do you feel guilty for living in America? You feel guilty? You're supposed to. You're supposed to feel guilty for your skin color. You're supposed to feel guilty for your gender. You're supposed to feel guilty for all kinds of things. Don't you feel guilty? And therefore, you have to feel guilty for living in America. When it all comes up, you've got to feel guilty for living in America. Do you feel guilty for living in America? Do I? No. You know what I feel? I feel blessed. thankful, humbled. It's popular for wicked men to try and make you feel guilty for how you were born, to make you feel guilty for your skin color. It's popular for men to make you feel guilty about where you were born. Don't feel guilty. Be grateful. Thank God you were born in America. Thanksgiving. When you thank God, you thereby humbly allow Him to use the things for which you thank Him for His glory. One last passage I'd like you to see is Romans chapter 1. Talking about this word thankful. Be grateful. Be thankful to God. When it comes right down to it, a lot of the problems we're experiencing today are due to a violation of God's word as we see it in Romans chapter 1. Verse 21, Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Have you seen some fools lately who think they're really wise? Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. What does God do? Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. You see, when men are not thankful to God for what they have, they become corrupt in their minds. Now they're going to talk about you and how you are just privileged. No, I'm thankful. I'm grateful for what God has given me. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. And here it talks about homosexuality. For even their women did change all the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled. Now, as you follow these vices, you will see that these follow what is taking place in our nation today. Why? Because neither were they thankful. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The unthankful become guilty of these listed vices. Are you a man this morning? Thank God you were born a man. Now be a man. And don't apologize for it. Were you born a woman? Praise God you were born a woman. Thank Him for it. And allow Him to use you in your station as a man or a woman. Two genders for His glory. Amen. It is unthankful when somebody says, I don't like the fact that God made me a man, and puts a dress on. Are you a white person this morning? Thank God you're white. Are you brown? Are you black? Are you red? Are you yellow? Praise God and use what He has made you for His glory, but quit being a victim. acting like other people are more privileged than I. Now you're full of envy, maliciousness, haters of God. How ungrateful, how impossible to change it. To be born free is a privilege. To die free is an awesome responsibility. We're talking about responsibility. Galatians 5:13, again, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Sacrifice, vigilance, law, truth, responsibility. Five essential ingredients of liberty. As important and appreciated it is to live in a free country, it only lasts during this life. Paul makes it very clear. Our citizenship is in heaven. And when you pray, Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May the United States prosper. No. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Talking about everlasting freedom. Many who have grown up in this land as free Americans die in bondage to sin. And Jesus warned people about dying in their sin to spend an eternity in hell. But if you die in Christ, his blood having covered your sins, you die in freedom never to suffer the second death. Civil liberty has its roots in spiritual liberty. Your civil liberties can be taken away. Your spiritual liberty in Jesus Christ is absolute and inviolable. It is permanent. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let freedom ring in your life today. Come to the truth. He will set you free. Would you bow your heads, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask